So Rashi on the spot says that mezuzah chavos hador is clearly a din in Torah. Rashi is invoking a pasuk for it, beisecha, which means derech biyoscha. If the Torah tells us that we follow the way the person walks into the house, clearly the being, the living in the house, is an integral part of the chimezuzah. So Rashi says both b'tam a pasuk beisecha, which teaches us derech biyoscha, both in terms of the issue of shemira, that the part of the goal of the mezuzah is to some effect, some kind of a shemira for the people who are being dar living in the house. It's crystal clear from Rashi that this is a din in the Torah. However, it's as far from agreed upon by everybody, and really much of that discussion revolves around the sugya that appears on the next of the Marmakomos. So hopefully those of the Marmakomos. It's Marmakom number two. It's a critical gemara, Maseches Menachos, Daf Mem Daled.
Number two and number four.
Number two of the Marmakomos. No. It's Marmakom sheet number four, but it's the second of the Makoros and number four. Okay, it's sheet number four. Okay, it's the second source on number four. So comes the Gemara and says towards the end of that line, towards the end of the first line, Tanem Yochi, Hadar bepundiki b'yaretz Yisrael, v'asoche bayis b'chutz l'aretz, kol shlosh miyom potem min ha-mezuzah, v'kan ve'el ha-chayev. So the Braisa tells us that if a person rents a house in chutz l'aretz, for the first 30 days, he's not obligated to put up a mezuzah. After 30 days, everything changes. Now, why does the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz? We'll put that on hold for another time. But we want to focus just on the mezuzah part. Eretz Yisrael is a whole different angle in terms of this sugya, but just in terms of the pure mezuzah part. So it is clear from the Braisa that we're drawing a distinction between pre-30 days versus post-30 days vis-a-vis a socher. So the question is, how do you understand that? What's the nature of that halacha? So if you take a look at Tosfos on the next of the sources, Marmakom, source number three. So Tosfos tells you, let's take a look. It's fourth line from the bottom. This is the middle of the line. Umil Yesh Lomar, the mezuzah nami mid the rabbonim. Says Tosfos that the whole obligation of a socher ever putting up a mezuzah, even after 30 days, is only mid the rabbonim. Why is that? The trei beisech l'ksivi, because it says one time the word beisech in the first parasha Shema, then it repeats the word beisech obviously in the second parasha Shema. So one of the words beisech teaches us derech biyoscha. That's the source that you have to put the mezuzah on the right side. The second word beisech teaches me that it has to be beisecha. It's got to be shocha. It's got to belong to you. It's like a throwback to last night's year. We spoke about the Lulav Nesek belonging to you, and the matzah belonging to you, and the dough for the challah belonging to you. So too, the house has to belong to you. If the house doesn't belong to you, then there's no chimazuzah midaraisa. So im kein, there's no chimazuzah midaraisa. So why, after 30 days, you have to put up a mezuzah? Oh, that's easy, says Tosfos. That's because midarabanan, it looks like it's yours. After 30 days, the guy's been living in an apartment. The guy rented an apartment. He's been living there for 30 days. Everyone thinks, Mistami bought the apartment. Mistami bought the house. But midaraisa, if he really truly doesn't own the house, then he does not have to put up the mezuzah liyalavad min haTorah. So this opinion in Tosfos is in stark contrast to Rashi and Asugya, because basically Tosfos is saying is that living in a house is not enough to obligate you a mezuzah midaraisa. You have to live in a house plus own the house. Rashi never heard of such a thing. Rashi and Asugya says mezuzah chavos hador, the soch is obligated to put up the mezuzah. It's a din midaraisa, no question about it. Mezuzah chavos hador is a mechayev. According to Tosfos, at least according to this opinion, Tosfos, it's not true. There never was a chiyuv for the socher to put up a mezuzah midaraisa. So what does mezuzah chavos hador mean? So if you take a look at the continuation of that Tosfos, so it's three lines on the bottom of that Tosfos and the third of the sources. So it's the end of the halacha. Pshita shemaskir eino chayev, kevish eino darsham. When the Gemara says mezuzah chavos hador, according to Tosfos, that is not a reason to obligate the socher, rather that's a reason to exempt the maskir. So basically what's happening now is that we have two very, very different approaches, what the word mezuzah chavos hador is all about. What is that imagery that mezuzah chavos hador is trying to conjure up for us? So according to Rashi, mezuzah chavos hador is a mechayiv. It obligates you in mezuzah. It's a mechayiv midaraisa. Whereas according to Tosfos, no, not a mechayiv midaraisa. If anything, it's a potem midaraisa. It's a potem for the maskir. What about the chiyuv for the socher? Socher. What are you talking about? There's for sure no chiyuv for socher. Socher is nothing. Socher is a garnish. Socher is a zero. Why is the socher a zero? Because it's not the socher. It doesn't own it. So this is now a major, major machlokes of Rishonim. The truth is that although I'm presenting it as a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, The truth is that it's really 2 days in Tosfos, because actually that same Tosfos we skipped over to the end. We only read the last two, three lines of Tosfos. But the first opinion of Tosfos actually subscribes to Rashi's view that Mezuzah Chavos Adar is a Mechayev Ben HaTorah. So now we have to analyze all the different sugyas that invoke the principle of Mezuzah Chavos Adar, Bein Lefi Rashi, Bein Lefi Tosfos. So let's go back. Let's go back for a moment, back to the second of the sources. When the Gemara taught us, for 30 days, you're potter from mezuzah. That's a given. The renter need not put up mezuzah for 30 days. So I understand that according to Tosfos. Because according to Tosfos, that the chi of socher is only midrabban anyway, even if you're renting it for 100 years. You only chayav midrabban, it's not b'secha. So we understand because I'll put the cutoff point. They said, if the 30 days, it doesn't look right. The passage looks like you own the house. So therefore, Midir Rabbanan, we are going to, we're going to force you to put up a mezuzah as a Mar Sinai type of a thing. But according to Rashi Sheet, the mezuzah is a mechayev. You're obligated in a Torah to put up a mezuzah because you don't have to own the house with a Torah. So who gave you a waiting period of 30 days? Where did that come from? Like Mehecha Desi, what right do you have to wait 30 days before putting up a mezuzah? You should be obligated to put up the mezuzah immediately, the second you move in. The minute that you're a mezuzah chel besador, you should be chayv to put the mezuzah up right away. And the truth is, if you own a house, that is the din. That is the halacha. If a person moves into a house, there's a common misconception. Many people think that I move into a house, I got 30 days to like drezach around with mezuzahs. That's not true. You can dray, you can delay. You're not obligated. It's not dray, it's not delaying. You're not obligated until 30 days. That's if you're a renter. But if you are an owner, so of course you have to put up the mezuzah right away. I remember when we moved into our house. So we were doing construction for about a year. We had been living in my in-law's house for about a year or so. And we finally moved in. We moved into this house. It was Erev Sukkos. So I remember we moved in. Finally, we planned we're going to eat and sleep. That's going to be our house for now. So I ran around the house, Erev Sukkos, putting up the mezuzahs. For time, you don't have 30 days to wait. You don't have a minute to wait. As soon as you're chayev, so once you're doing a ma'aseh diri, you moved your family in, and now you're sitting down eating lunch. Whatever you're doing, you want to sleep. Whatever you're doing as a ma'aseh diri in the house, so you become chayev mezuzah immediately. I remember that that Sukkos night. So it was back 15 years ago. So I remember. So I told my kids two things. My kids were one of my kids was born then. My quote unquote older kids were very very young at the time. So I remember I told them two things. So I explained to them, the ones who were old enough to understand, I explained to them that I walked in, after davening, I walked in from the shul into a house park, and I said two messages, two lessons. Number one, I'm going to make a baruch atov ha-meitiv, because we're so excited that we're moving into a new house. So if a person buys a house and they're living there alone, then they make a shechiyonah, but if they're living there with the family, with other people, then the baruch is atov ha-meitiv. So we made atov ha-meitiv. And then I said to them that the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu just told us that we're allowed to now move into the house. He just told us we have to move out of the house because it's the first night of Sukkos. The Sukkos Teshuvah is yamim. So tzemi beis hakeva b'dar b'diris haroi. So it was a real feeling. It was a real feeling of tzemi beis hakeva. Here we had been a roi for a year. We'd been floating around and drinking a rum and living in somewhat temporary circumstances. And now we had the opportunity. Baruch Hashem, enjoy the fruits of our labor. Nope. First, you have to go outside for a week. Sukkos Teshuvah is yom. Then you come back afterwards, and you can enjoy your house. But anyway, get back to the story. So I remember the mezuzah parts. I remember running around every other 4 minutes, banging the mezuzahs all over the house. Because if you own a house, you have to put the mezuzahs up right away. So now the problem is, so Bishlam, according to Tosfos, that the chiyuv mezuzah first saw Yisrael only midrabbanan. So I understand why you have a 30-day window. But if the chiyuv of mezuzah for the soicher is midaraisa, why is there any window whatsoever? So chare, we have to say, is as follows. So Tosfos themselves say it. If you go back to the third of the sources, so Tosfos writes, it's three lines in. Tosfos now is defending Rashi Shita. So the end of the fifth line. You call Lamed Yom Potter, the love based Dira Didehu. Tosfos says, the Mechayev, what Tosfos is saying, really, that's Rashi, but in the first opinion, Tosfos that subscribes to Rashi. The mechayev mezuzah is not owning. The mechayev mezuzah is being dar. What's being dar? What does it mean to live somewhere? So living doesn't just mean I happen to be sitting in this room right now. I'm living in this room. I happen to be sleeping in this house. I'm living in that. Dira has a certain connotation to it. So if a person mamish owns the house, it's literally pshutu k'mashmo. It's got his name with the title. So, it's his house. Of course he's doing a ma'aseh dira in the house. But that's not what's happening. He is renting the house. So just because he's there for a day or two, that doesn't make him a dar. It's a chisar, it's felt in the din dira shabai. Tosis gives an interesting marshal. Tosis says that there's a dira duchas tadaka, that if a person lives in a town, so you have to pay, you have to support the town, you have to pay taxes, whatever the communal needs are, you have to pay for them. So the Gemara says in Baba Basra, that if you live in a town, you have to pay taxes to build the roads, and you have to pay taxes to have the police and the army, whatever is necessary for the toelas, for the better, the functioning of the entire society. That's part of your obligation when you live in a place. So the Gemara says part of an obligation is also to support the anim in that community. You have to, tzorchei anim is also part of your communal taxes. The Gemara says, at what point does the person become chayav to pay taxes? The guy comes and drays into town and says, he rents a hotel room for 3 days. So all of a sudden he gets hit by the tax authority? No, that's not fair. The Gemara Baba Basra says he has to be there for 30 days. It is nishtash of Muhammad Yom Yerukh Anshe Yer, the Gemara Baba Basra says he has to be there for a certain amount of time, for 30 days. So Tos says, why is that? Because up until 30 days, he's not really a dar. Up until 30, he's not really living. He's visiting. There are almost like two different categories in halacha. There's visiting and there's living. So there are three categories. There's owning, living, and visiting. So which is the mechayev of mezuzah? So according to one opinion, according to Rashi, according to one opinion, tells us you need a combination. You have to be owning plus living in order to be chayev. According to the other day in Rishon, according to Rashi, no, that you don't have to have owning in order to be chayev, but you for sure have to have living. The one thing that's for sure not chayev, that's visiting. The guy's passing through, so then he's for sure not chayav. It's not at all, not midrash, not midravah, nothing zero. So when all the dust settles, we understand why. Everyone agrees to the din now. The dinim are all the same. Like very common, we have this kind of conclusion. The dinim are all the same. It's now just a question of the mechanics, how we got to those dinim. How do you understand the lumdus of those dinim? Now, it's important always to understand the lumdus of a din, because just to say, well, here's a din, you know, this is what it says in Kit Shulchan Aruch, I know what to do, I'm finished, that's not going to help. That may help you in this one case, but if you ever want to extrapolate, you ever want to compare, you ever want to derive to other dinim, so it's not going to work very well. Unless you understand why a certain halacha is true, you're not going to be able to extrapolate properly to any other area of halacha. So therefore, we have to understand why is it that 30 days is the cutoff point? Is 30 days the cutoff point just on the level of the Rabbanan because it looks bad? Or is 30 days almost like the cutoff point on the level of the Araisa because that's called a Dira and the other scenario is not considered to be a Dira? So we're going to see, hopefully, as the sugya develops a little bit more, so we're going to see there are real enough communities of Dina. This is not just an academic question. There's some real enough communities of Dina, how we understand what the 30-day rule is. And how you understand what the 30-day rule is depends on what you think about this fundamental question of dira versus ownership. So there's one other piece of this puzzle that we have to evaluate before we can begin to put all the pieces of the puzzle together. So that's in the next of the sources, my Malkum number 4. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph, Amr B'chibar Abba B'yechanan, Lo L'kol Amr B'lezer Mechshir Mitzvah Dechnas HaShabbos. Rabbi Eliezer has a very, very unique sheet about Machshirei Mitzvah in general, Machshirei Mila and Pesach in particular, Machshirei Mitzvah in general. The halacha is that Mila is Dech HaShabbos. No question, Mila is Mila. You know, the 8th day is Dech HaShabbos, Dech HaYad, Dech HaYom Kippur. No Shalom, that's Xer Sakas, the Pasuk, whatever the source is, that was never, ever, ever debated by anybody that a meal on the 8th day is Dech everything. However, there was a machlok in Tanoim. What does that mean when we say milah is Dech HaShabbos? Does that mean only the act of milah itself? What about all the preparatory stages? Let's say, for example, the boil comes to the bris on Shabbos morning and realizes Givalt, he doesn't have a knife. So he quickly says, okay, no problem. He's very handy. It's not just the boil, he's a blacksmith also. So he quickly runs to his shop and he takes a piece of metal, melts the metal, forms into a knife. Are you allowed to do that or not? So Rabbi Eliezer said yes. Eliezer said, just as Mila is Dech HaShabbos, the Machshirei Mila, the preparatory stages of Mila are Dech HaShabbos as well. And Rabbi Akiva says, Ma'apidon. Rabbi Akiva says, not true. Only the Mila proper is Dech HaShabbos. All the preparations beforehand, the Machshirei Mila, they're called not Dech HaShabbos. So the Gemara has the identical machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva about Korban Pesach. Everybody agrees Korban Pesach is Dech HaShabbos. Comes Rabbi Eliezer and says, not only is the Shechitas of Korban Dech HaShabbos, but all preparations as well. So let's say, for example, a person all of a sudden realizes that he doesn't have an animal. Nobody has an animal from the brings of Korban Pesach. He's got to go hop into his truck and go drive 20 miles to go to a farm, go get an animal to bring it back to Shalayim. So Beleza says, get into your truck and drive on Shabbos. No problem. It's Lech HaShabbos. the mitzvah of Korban Pesach Lichas Shabbos, as well as all the machshirei Korban Pesach as well. And Rabbi Kiva says that that is Chol Shabbos derais mechaskila for that. Rabbi Kiva says the shechting, the shechita, the avoda, Korban Guf is Lichas Shabbos, but all the preparations, the machshirim that could have been and should have been done before, in fact, are not going to be the Lichas Shabbos. So then the Gemara in Perek Rulaz the Mila in the 19th Perek of Shabbos takes Rabbi Eliezer sheet even one step further. Mark quotes that Rabbi Eliezer said, not only is Mila Dechah Shabbos, not only is Korban Pesach Dechah Shabbos, but a whole array of other mitzvahs are Dechah Shabbos as well. The mitzvah of Sukkah is Dechah Shabbos, and the mitzvah of Matzah is Dechah Shabbos, and the mitzvah of Lulav is Dechah Shabbos. What would that mean according to Rabbi Eliezer? If a person comes to the first day of Sukkah, he realizes it's Gevalti. He doesn't have a Sukkah. There's nowhere to go. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you can build a Sukkah. You can be Mechalal Shabbos in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah. The guy realizes he doesn't have Matzah. So it's Friday night, if it's Yom Tov, taking a lot of bakes, so it's Friday night, the first Seder, so you go ahead and you bake yourself a piece of matzah to be into the mitzvah, because I shall matzah's mitzvah. That's okay, because the baking of the matzah, the machshira mitzvah, it's also the Hashem's. And Rabbi Akiva obviously disagrees with all of the above. Rabbi Akiva says, none of this is true. So the Gemara goes to a whole array, a whole list of mitzvahs, according to Eliezer, that would theoretically machshira be the Hashem's, but the Gemara says the buck stops here. Lola called Amar Belez Machshir Mitzvah Shabbos. Even Rabbi Eliezer, who has the very, very unique make of the Ishita, he even Yesh Gvul B'dov, even Rabbi Eliezer stops at a certain point. What's the point of Rabbi Eliezer's stopping? So that's what the next Gemara comes. Number five is Amar Vad Berava L'Meyute Tzitzis L'Talisa B'Zuz L'Pischai. That if a person decides on Shabbos they're wearing a four-pointed garment and they realize they don't have tzitzis on it, Rabbi Eliezer says you cannot make a pair of tzitzis on Shabbos. Or a guy is living in a house and he looks around and goes, oh, there's no mezuzah there. You cannot write a mezuzah or bang a nail on a mezuzah. You can't do malach on Shabbos to facilitate the fulfillment of either tzitzis or the mitzvah of mezuzah. So the question is, why not? What's the difference? If Rabbi Eliezer is so makil that you can do anything and everything for bismillah, for Korban Pesach, for matzah, for lulav, for sukkah, for shagaya, every mitzvah under the sun. So manishtana, these two mitzvahs. So comes the Gemara, has a whole discussion about it. And finally, the Gemara concludes. If you take a look at the last line of that source, Hayul Uviyadulaf Kiran. These mitzvahs are different because these mitzvahs, you could be mafkir your property and thereby circumventing Chaim's mitzvahs altogether. What would that mean practically? I have a four-cornered garment. I get out of the mitzvah of tzitzis. I don't have to bother me Michal Shabbos to put on tzitzis. I have no right to do that. Just simply declare your dalat kanfis to be hefker. And once it's hefker, it's potter. Those who are in kol in the night shir, in the iyun shir, we spoke a little bit about this in a different context last week. We spoke about whether hefker is considered to be a dam shalom, a meshusa. Yeah, we had a whole discussion about this, and we invoked the ketzos and invoked this gemara. So bottom line is the gemara says explicitly that if you have a dam shal hefker, if you have a talus shal hefker, there is no need to put to a tzitzis on this baguette. And then the gemara says the same is true for a house. What do you have to write a mezuzah on Shabbos for? What do you have to nail on a mezuzah on Shabbos? Just be mafkir the house and shirt. You're not chayv a mezuzah altogether. So wait a second. What do you mean? I understand that you're mafkir the beged, why you're potter from tzitzis, because the Torah says ksuscha. So ksuscha means it has to belong to you. Everybody agrees. If I have a bar or talis, so min haTorah, I'm not chayv in tzitzis. Ever. I can bar or talis for 100 years, I'm not chayv in tzitzis. If I ask somebody, I come to shul and I say, I forgot my talis, can I quote unquote borrow your talis for davening? Then the rush writes, it's understood. What I mean is, I don't really want to borrow it. I want to own it to my talis for the next hour. And then I'll give it back to you. That's not called borrowing. But if I really truly borrow your talis, then there's absolutely no need to put tzitzis on it. Some of you may remember I gave a shiur about this, I think even more than once, about Shylon on the planes. When you get those, sometimes you have these blankets on the plane. Some of the blankets I'm almost like wearing, literally put your arms in them. They're almost like a shirt slash blanket, and they have four corners on them. So the question is, are you chayv in it or not? So chayv in tzitzis in it. So one of the svaras that we had was they don't really belong to you. They really belong to the plane. So you're simply just a borrower, unless you're on a 30-day flight, then you become chayv in drabanut. But you're just borrowing something, so technically you're not really chayv, not minatar, not midrabanan. The problem is that true? Who owns those blankets? So I remember one time I gave a shiur about a couple of years ago, and I kept on saying, oh, the airline owns the blankets, you're not supposed to take them. And then somebody told me, go on the airline, and if I forgot already which one it was, go on the website, it says, goes on the day, take the blankets, they're giving them to you. So that's tricky, then you have to have why not to be zoich on them, and it gets very, very complicated. So the din is that a borrow beggar is technically minatar for sure, not chayv, and since the 30 days, not even chayv, midrabanan. But a house, One second. The house, according to Rashi, the house doesn't depend upon Bailus. The house depends on Dira. If you live there, you're chayiv. So why is being mafka your house a paita from mezuzah? So this Gemara is an outright contradiction to Rashi. So again, the Gemara says that, according to Rabbi Lez, we don't hold Rabbi Lez. So Lamai said, none of this matters to us really, truly. But we, as Kedarkai Shalai Gemara, we can derive an awful lot. We can learn a lot from a sheet that we don't learn. We didn't even hold it. We didn't even hold it, Rabbi Lez. And it's still okay. We can derive a tremendous amount of lomdus and Torah and Halacha Maisa from Rabbi Eliezer's Shita, because Rabbi Eliezer is telling us that even I, who hold that Machshirin should be Deicha Shabbos, and Machshirei of Mezuzah, Machshirei Tzitzis, all these things should be Deicha Shabbos, even I'd be the buck stops here, hold the Adlef Kira. So you see that a baggage of Hefker is bought from Tzitzis. You see that a house of Hefker is not Chayv Mezuzah. Why not? So I understand the tzitzis part because ksus cholamai shula, but why is the bias not chayiv in tzitzis? The house is chayiv in tzitzis. We know it's 6:45 in the morning. The house is chayiv in tzitzis. It means why isn't the house chayiv in mezuzah? So according to those rishonim who say that you need beisecha, you need bailus, you need ownership. That I got according to Rashi. Why should that be so? Why isn't that dira? So the answer is very simple. That like we said before, there's dira and then there's visiting. There's ownership, there's living, and then there's visiting. If you are, quote unquote, living in a house in Hefker, that's not even called living. If you rent out an apartment, so then you're living there. Again, you don't own it, but at least you're living there. So then we can entertain Chavos Hadar. If I'm passing through an apartment, so then I'm not even Chayv at all. That's why Rashi agrees that for the first 30 days, the tenant is not Chayv. That's just called passing through. That's not called living, not even living. So Hua Dinami, a Dovashal Hefker is not called living in a Dovashal Hefker. I'm living in a house and I'm having in mind not to be Zerich. I scream at the top of my lungs, this house is Hefker. So anybody can come and toss me out at moment's notice and I won't have a leg to stand on a base then. So anytime you have a situation where I'm quote unquote living in an area, but I'm not living there. The mice I can be tossed out immediately. So under those circumstances, it's not even called living, that's not even called a dira. So therefore, even according to Rashi, presumably this wouldn't be chayiv. So we've covered all bases really. We have a whole array of different scenarios of a relationship between a person and a house. And we're trying to figure out at what point does mezuzah become derais, at what point is it only derais, at what point is it nothing. So we still have this fundamental machlokes between Rashi and our sugya. Rashi says mezuzah chavos hadar is mechayiv, and therefore the seicher is chayiv. Whereas according to one opinion, tells us at least in Menachos, so mezuzah chavos hadar is a poiter. That's the reason why the maskim, why the landlord is poter. But in terms of being chayiv, so then we don't have any reason to believe that the seicher is chayiv in the Torah, because beisecha excludes that. So there is a pasuk beisecha. How can we be discussing this? Well, isn't it possible that beisecha excludes a house you don't own? The problem is Chazal never said it. Chazal never told us that drasha. So we're making up a drasha on our own. Now again, it could be a fact called making up a drasha. We have parallel drashas by ksuscha, by other cases where you have to own something. But this is a little bit up for grabs. So when all the dust settles, we know that living in a house it makes you chayav, but we're not sure it's that midrash Torah and that midrash Rabbanan. Rashi says klim in the Torah. Tosfos says only a house without living is for sure potter, and hefker is for sure potter, and the seiche for up to 30 days is for sure potter, at least in chutzlats. Chutzlats is a different factor altogether, but chutzlats is going to be potter. So the dinim seem to all be lining up. Everyone seems to be agreeing to the dinim, but again, the lomdus, the rationale behind it, seems to be a source of great controversy. Hopefully that's showing the next year on Thursday and Friday, so we'll try to pick up with my nafkamina and dina. At the end of the day, what comes out of this lemaisa, are they real nafkamina? The answer is there's some very, very real nafkamina. Okay, so wish you have a good day. Sorry about the little last minute changes in the